September 7th, 2016, and we have a work session item.
I don't know much. It's a fairly straightforward text amendment. What's unusual about this is that it's originating from a third party, from the public. And I guess in this case, it is a company that does business in the city of Springfield. And I'm not sure that they're a property owner or not, but Verizon Wireless, through their agents, are seeking to change the provisions for the public land and open space district to allow for moderate visibility cell towers in that district. And commissioners will be familiar with the moderate visibility cell tower, which has been most typically represented through a monopine. There are other design varieties, but that's one that has been seen recently in the city. I guess for context, there are existing cell towers that I guess would be considered non-conforming on public land and open space sites. Both high schools have cell towers, and they would be the traditional monopole, not particularly camouflaged, pretty obvious. So that doesn't really bring those into compliance, but it is indicative of the sort of ubiquitousness of, if that's a word, of cell towers within the city. So the physical change to the development code would be to take public land and open space, which is in the table 4.3-1 in development code, elevating it from what I'm calling the third tier to the second tier. The third tier only allows for stealth and low visibility facilities. Moving the public land and open space district into the second tier would allow for the moderate visibility facilities. The other textual amendment would include adding a footnote that this is specific to sites within the city limits. And that will be illustrated through the map that seemed to be problematic for downloading. Most of the properties that are zoned public land and open space are already in the city limits. With a few notable exceptions, Doris Ranch is one. There's another property that's, I believe, owned by Wilhelm Lane, just west of the well field for sub, near what's known as the Knife River property. There's also, I believe it's Deadman Ferry site there, where there's a boat launch, and also a couple sites in Glenwood. But it is felt by the applicant that the sites that are already inside the city limits present enough of an opportunity to site facilities that it can be specific to the inside the city limits. There is a specific site that has been identified by the applicant and has sort of precipitated this need to change the text amendment, and that's on Vitus Butte. It is proximate to residential land use, and it would have to go through, should this be adopted by the city council, it would need to go through discretionary use and site plan application procedures similar to other cell towers that we've seen recently that have been come before the Planning Commission. So it still would require site design. It would need that the applicant would be the burden would be on the applicant to demonstrate that it can be integrated into the whatever environment or whatever site is being sought for this particular type of facility. So, you know, staff has no particular opinion on this. We're presenting it to the Planning Commission for their recommendation to the City Council. The hearing will be on October 3rd, first reading of this. We anticipate if there's a need to push that back, that could be done. But it's expected that all the information would be available to the Planning Commission this evening to hopefully formulate a recommendation to the City Council as we move forward. So there will be a couple of diagrams. I'll have the map of the public land and open space available to see its distribution within the city. Also, the actual table showing where the movement would be, the change of the text within the table, and then how it would appear post-adoption, should that occur, given an added footnote. So that will be available. as I alluded to before the work session began, the applicant's here this evening and they intend to present more specific reasons as to why this is before the Planning Commission, City Council for a text amendment in order to accommodate facilities inside the city. Yes, Mr. James.
Low visibility stealth versus moderate visibility. What's the difference of those? You know, like $100,000? I mean,
I'm not sure about the budgeting aspect.
I was just specifically. I mean, what are the differences? Is there substantially more cost to the other variety?
So a stealth facility would be something that would be imperceptible. A church steeple, a flagpole.
Gotcha.
Something on a power pole, something that is not discernible as a standalone facility. A low visibility facility would be like a whip antenna, so something on the larger of like a, you know, not much bigger than you'd have on a large pickup truck, really, okay. You know, 6 foot facility.
So moderate is really what we've been seeing.
Correct. And it's something that may in other jurisdictions be considered a camouflage facility. However, we don't consider that on a pine to be a camouflage facility. It's a way of integrating a moderate visibility facility into be a little bit more innocuous, I guess, in the landscape. Mm-hmm. A camouflage facility would be something that would be entirely integrated with like a building, a small antenna on top of like a water tower. And that was an option that was available to the applicant. There is existing Rainbow Water District, mm-hmm. water tower tank up there, but the engineering aspect of mounting sufficiently sized antenna that'll reach the area of coverage precluded that type of facility. So that was something that was examined apparently, and that may be, there may be more details provided on that. But the location, the coverage range, the height of the facility all necessitated looking at this site. Now, with the change to the code, presumably any provider could come forward with an application for any site with that zoning. So although it is sort of being sought for one particular location, you know, it opens the door to other sites. I guess as another existing facility is at the Springfield Memorial Gardens Cemetery, mm-hmm. On the south side of McKenzie Highway. That also is zoned public land and open space, and they have a, I guess we'd call it a high visibility facility. They have a standard monopole tower there. So again, there are existing facilities on the public land and open space sites, and point forward, if this text amendment is adopted, they would need to be moderate visibility or low visibility or stealth facilities. So it doesn't bring them really more into compliance, but we've seen that those sites are typically used for cell towers. So.
Greg asked one question I had, which is, thank you, Greg. But another question I had is, would there be any monetary benefit to, for instance, if they were to try to locate something on Willamette Land property or property owned by the city of Springfield, would there be a monetary benefit in allowing this to pass?
I believe so, yes, because it would be up to the provider and the property owner to settle on the terms of a lease agreement.
Okay.
And as to the cost of that, I don't have mm-hmm. that information before me, but typically they are a revenue generation of sort.
Okay, always use more money for parks. And why couldn't we can we possibly do just one exemption? I think they showed pretty clearly in their documentation that they need a facility in that location, but can we just give one exemption to this location and not go for a blanket approval with the code amendment?
Site specific,
yes.
Not in the current reading of the code and how we define, they would either have to comply with the type of facility that's currently allowable on that zoning district, They could try to seek rezoning, which would also require a, you know, a plan designation change, which would be all equally cumbersome, if not more so. Because upzoning something, arguably be some type of an upzoning or intensification in a residential surrounding, would probably generate some interest from the neighborhood and possibly resistance. So they're trying to, the applicant is looking at finding a way to make it allowable, but not, you know, permitted without any further action on their part. They'll need to come forward and demonstrate that it can be sited appropriately in that facility. So it does, you know, create a second step, a necessary step in order to obtain approval for a discretionary use.
Okay, thank you.
Even if we bring it into the moderate, we could still always request, if a new tower is requested, that it be stealth initially, like they have to do an analysis to determine whether that's a feasible option before we go with the moderate visible.
Correct. Now, I guess I would point out that if someone were to come in with a, you know, a stealth or low visibility facility, that's likely something that could be done without a discretionary use. It's the moderate visibility and above and high visibility that triggered the requirement for the discretionary use. So the applicant or any other applicant could fall back to a lesser facility, a lesser visible, lower impact facility, and not face the, you know, discretionary use proceedings, either currently or with this text amendment. They would still have that same opportunity.
Questions?
How is this treated in other municipalities or the county?
As far as cell towers overall, or just this potential?
Just this particular, type of use.
I did not compare this proposal with other municipalities. I have found through the applications we've received and the feedback we have received is that Springfield's interpretations are more conservative as far as their interpretation of stealth and camouflage facilities. What is often accepted as a camouflage facility, like a monopine, is not a camouflage facility in Springfield. So the I guess proceedings and the regulatory framework is has a higher bar in Springfield than in other municipalities. So we've heard. So,
and but you don't know about PLO siting on that property in the other local jurisdictions.
Yeah, and I guess I'd have to look at comparable zoning. I know that, as an example, down at the wastewater treatment plant off near the Beltline Bridge at the Willamette River, there's, I believe, at least two high visibility cell towers on or adjacent to that property, right along the river. And, you know, the lattice tower and the, you know, monopole, I see it because I'm in that area of the city, so I see it all the time. And so it's, you know, it's one of those things where it would have been nice if there had been something less visually conspicuous along the river area, because even the plant itself has been landscaped and sort of buffered, but the towers aren't there. And so I think that, you know, clearly, at least up until the towers were installed, it was an allowable use for, you know, higher visibility towers in, you know, like a, I guess, a government-owned zoning there. And I don't know what the zoning is for that facility, but I imagine it's probably government or, you know, public type of zoning. So
we would still have the flexibility, though, to adjust, you know, to say, well, the monopine, you know, you remember the argument that we had with the early Verizon Tower, and we said, no, we need to hide this thing a little bit better. We that flexibility remains.
Yes, correct. That would be done through a discretionary use proceeding where they would need to ensure that it can be conform with the criteria for discretionary use and specific criteria that are set out in the wireless telecommunication system section of the development code.
Thank you. I think that's all we have for the work session items. So I will adjourn this work session meeting. We convene in
15 minutes.
To my desktop and recording here.